All right, Lamentations chapter 5, verse 1 and 2. He said, "Remember, O Lord, what has come upon us. Consider and behold our reproach." Now look, our inheritance is turned to strangers. Has it ever been? And he said, our houses to aliens. I mean, you have to understand, I'm the oldest one in our midst. You wouldn't even, those before me that lived in my time, if they came back, they wouldn't recognize this place. They'd think they were in a foreign country, the truth be told. And they'd ask, who are these people? Who are these people? That's where we've come to. I read something this morning, right before I stepped over to bring this word. And it's by a man out of, I'm going to look him back up. I think he's a coach. And I'm going to mention something about salt. And he talked about, I believe he's from Manchester, England. And he said, "Why, you wouldn't even recognize this place." He said, "This place was founded by WASPs." You know what they are, white Anglo-Saxon Protestants. The world that I grew up in, that I knew as a boy and a young man, that world was formed and brought about by WASPs. Did you know that? By white Anglo-Saxon Protestants. It really was. We built everything that was worth building. We did everything that was worth doing. And we spread the gospel of Jesus Christ. We did. And we took it to the indigenous peoples of the earth. And we tried to turn those people from idols and from witchcraft to eternal life. Well, now you can't do that. Now the world, our world as we know it, is full of Islam. Allah's not God. Muhammad was a child molester, as most of them are. It's another sermon. And we've allowed them here. Like this man said, they won't allow them in China. They won't allow them in Japan. They have their own pagan sort. But we allow them here. And the WASP has become the bad guy, the endangered species, you might say. In Psalm chapter 9, verse 17, said, "The wicked shall be turned into hell, and all the nations that forget God." The wicked shall be, well, what's hell? Who do you know that preaches hell? I would tell you this morning that we are surely entering a time of lamentation, a time of bitter tears. Our inheritance is most certainly turned to strangers and our houses to aliens. We've ceded the land to those who know it not. They don't know anything about our heritage. They don't know anything about the Christianity and those that believed Christ that founded this place, that came here. Consider, you know, when I was growing up, South Africa was a model country. It was incredible. It was a place that you and I would want to go live. It was unbelievable. You don't want to go there today. Consider Zion and all the things that happened in Zion throughout the Old Testament. And that's why Jeremiah was weeping. He knew what it once was. He knew that the Holy of Holies was there in the temple of God. And even though I wasn't raised what you might call in a church, so to speak. I was raised that Christ was the Son of God. And the old preachers, they'd stand up and declare that Christ was the Son of God. And that Christ was the only way to eternal life. So when I look at our country and I see, if I think of our country, the United States of America, it's very large in scope. And so I like to bring things down home, bring things down. I boil them down to a scale where I have an understanding and I have a responsibility. Okay? And I have a country of my own. Perhaps you do too. Mine's at the end of a street called Hollis Lane. Okay? Well, who might I allow in my country? Who might I allow to dwell at the end of Hollis Lane, you see? Can I simply just open it up and say, hey, I've got a place at the end of Hollis Lane. Anybody that wants to come down there, can you imagine? Well, that's what we've done. So you can imagine that. You can see that if you just opened your home and said, hey, I know there's a lot of homeless people out there. There's a lot of poor, a lot of downtrodden. I've got a house. Anybody that wants to look what and see how that thing would turn out. Well, let's carry that to heaven. The heavenly Zion. Who's going to be allowed there? Turn to the last book of in the Bible, the book of Revelation. Who's going to be allowed there? Revelation chapter 22. The very last page in the Bible. Verse 14 and verse 15. He said, blessed are they that do his commandments, that they may have right to the tree of life and may enter in through the gates of the city. He said, for without are dogs and sorcerers and whoremongers, murderers, idolaters, and whosoever loveth and maketh a lie. Who even has right to the tree of life? God segregates his people. If there's ever a segregationist, it's God. He separates. The Bible itself, the gospel, the word I'm preaching this morning, it separates. It cuts. It always has. It always will. We spoke a while. My people. These are my people. And I know my people. And he says, wherefore, come out from among them. And he tells you and I to be separate. In Numbers 35, 34, in the Old Testament, he tells us, he said, don't defile the land. We've defiled the land. Who can say that we haven't? You know, we're without rain. I came back to this country in South Texas in 95. Excuse me. And I've experienced drought after drought after drought. Every year I have to buy more feed for the cattle. And things are out of order. This morning Melissa said that we've got a new calf out in the pasture. Dennis will find this interesting. We were talking about buzzards. Dennis had sent a picture. There's a buzzard that landed on the roof of the house, and that's unusual. I've never seen a buzzard on the roof. You ever seen a buzzard on the roof of a house? Not ever. It doesn't happen. And then he sent a picture, a lady friend, and a buzzard landed outside the window. He's looking in the window, a buzzard. Melissa had to go out at least three times this morning to fight buzzards off of a living calf. Well, that used to not be. Used to be that buzzards went after the dead. I'm telling you that things are out of order. You remember in Matthew chapter 24, maybe around verse 28, I don't know, I didn't write it down. But I remember in Matthew 24, he said, where the eagles are, there you're going to find the carcasses. He's talking about eagles, perhaps buzzards. Carry on. And now the buzzards are coming down. They're attacking living entities. They're aggressive. They have an aggression. Nature itself teaches us it's out of order. We've polluted our land in every way. Can our children, now listen, many of you have children. Can our children bring forth sustenance? They all want to go to McDonald's, but nobody wants to supply McDonald's. Somebody's going to have to grow something. Somebody's going to have to raise something. They're going to soon take our guns. You know, you say, oh, no, they're not. Well, maybe not. You may not be here. I don't know. I probably won't be. But they're going to take our guns. And our children and our grandchildren will more than willingly give them up. You think they will not, but they will. They'll surrender them without a fight because they'll think they're evil. And they'll do exactly as they're told. You find me the next generation. Now listen, and this is the crux of the message. You find me the next generation that fears God, that fears the Lord. The fear of the Lord is no longer taught. Do your children fear the Lord? And I mean fear the Lord. Do they know of hell? A burning, fiery place where the worm dieth not, where there's wailing, gnashing of teeth, and a place where the wicked and the evil and the Christ haters and those that don't obey God go when they die. Any concept at all in your children of the wages of sin? I'm not talking about if I touch this, I get my hand slapped. I'm talking about the fear of God. The young people, they know nothing of fornication and adultery, mean nothing to them. It's commonplace. Turn on the television or find the people live. Probably their parents are living in open adultery and fornication. And the things they see and hear, they actually promote such. Have you taught them to seek after their kind? Do they even know their kind? Do they even know there's any such thing as their kind? This sleep didn't come slowly. The frog started being boiled a long time ago. No God in school. Abortion on demand, so-called rights, equal rights, civil rights, women's rights, animal rights, animal rights. God have mercy. Well, you've got them, and look around. Enjoy your rights. And it won't be long before you see how wrong they all were. Because bondages shall rule the land. We're seeing it now. If the frog ever figures it out, but they'll cry as they did with Christ Jesus, they'll say, just give us Barabbas. Just give us Barabbas. And I could go on and on concerning these things. Political correctness. Time wouldn't allow for me to speak on sodomites and gender and all the like. Forgive me. You see, the Pandora's box that we've opened runs far too deep. But this I can do. God always provides a remedy. Yes, even for sin. Christ and his atoning blood we sing of it. You know, one of the biggest physical altercations that we ever had in the tabernacle? Can you imagine this? Was over Christ's atoning blood. I'm not making that up. That it was by his blood that we were made clean. Oh, no, it wasn't. No, whoa, preacher, no, it wasn't. What? And these were so-called religious, Bible-taught people. There's one verse that'll always stand out in times like these. If you turn in your Bible, you may know it. 2 Chronicles 7:14. You should know it. He said, if my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and I will forgive their sin and will heal their land. But they won't. And now I'm going to date myself. As Don Meredith used to sing, some of you, I'll never forget, I was in the Air Force when Monday Night Football began back in the late '60s, and Don Meredith used to be a quarterback for the Dallas Cowboys, and he went up in the control booth, the broadcast booth, and when the game was assured and it was the end of the game, he'd always sing, "Turn out the lights, the party's over." We could surely sing that at this hour. Revival? From where? The politically correct preachers that preach peace, peace, when there is no peace? And when all the people, I'm speaking of the church people, are at ease in Zion. The clouds without rain, Jude calls them. Clouds without rain. You see, we didn't earnestly contend for the faith. We let it slip. We had it. And we were ordered to earnestly contend for the faith, but we let it slip. We didn't want to appear mean-spirited or scare the little darlings, you see. I'm sure you're familiar. They just had another mass shooting up in Colorado. 10 people killed. All WASPs, as far as we know. By whom? Did you see his name? Achim. Achim. A Syrian Islamist. I've got an idea. Let's sell a Syrian Islamist an AR-15. What could be a better idea than that? By the way, he passed the so-called universal gun bill that everybody wants throughout the nation. Achim, whatever his name is. What could go wrong there? You see, you can fix ignorance, you can't fix stupid. Like the vaccine. That's the latest. The vaccine. Oh, you've got to have the vaccine. Oh, you've got to have that. Line up. They'll make more. You've got to wear a mask. No. No. I'm sorry. Now you've got to wear 2 masks. It's better if you wear 3. Now hop on one leg. Okay. And all this for a disease that has a 99%+ survival rate. I was thinking, there's a better chance. I'm 60 miles from the coast. I've got a better chance of a shark crawling across the dry land to Beeville, Texas, and bite me on the leg than dying of a disease that's overturned the world. And I've got friends and relatives standing in line to buy the lie. Standing in line! Don't tell me they won't take the mark. They'll clamor for it. They'll beg for it. I think I read the death rate for tuberculosis. Remember tuberculosis? Probably don't even know what that is. You know, it's like the death rate for that's like 43%. You know what the death rate is for AIDS? Forget about AIDS. Remember AIDS? Anybody remember HIV positive? Did you know the death rate for that is actually 100%? Oh, it may take a while. Yeah, but hey, my death rate's 100%. From the time I was, from the day I was born, I've got 100% chance of what?
Dying.
You know what the problem is? They're afraid of death. Mm-hmm. That's the problem. They're scared to death, of death. When what they should fear is God, the one that can cast both body and soul into hell.
Amen.
You know, the one coming back in flaming fire, taking vengeance. Mm-hmm. On who? Those that obey not the word of God. You see? Something, there are little things in the Bible that you never hear preached. At the end of the book of 1 Corinthians, if you turn over to 1 Corinthians chapter 16, I'd have you look at what Paul says. 1 Corinthians 16, 22. He's rounding out his letter, and he's saying to greet the brother, greet him with a holy kiss and salutations and the like. And he says in verse 22, if any man love not the Lord Jesus Christ, let him be anathema, Maranatha. Now, if you study that any at all, you'll find that's not Hebrew. Matter of fact, you'll find out that the common language of the day when Christ and Paul and these men walked in the Far East, they spoke a type of Arabian or Syrian dialect. Kind of like the adulterated language that you and I speak called English, our American English. And he said, let them be cursed until Jesus comes back. Let them be cursed. Can't we all just get along? Can you just feel the love and the peace? Paul said, if any man love not the Lord Jesus Christ, let him be anathema, Maranatha. Do you see it? You know, people, they're not afraid enough of God to go to church. But they're afraid enough of a virus with a 99% survival rate to wear masks and get stuck in the arm. Stand in line for miles. We had a 2, 3, 4, 5 mile line in Beeville, Texas. They had the cops out because the car line was so long and they wouldn't let them get out of the car to get stuck in the arm for a virus with a 99.9% survival rate. But they don't fear God enough to go to church. Any wonder that we've turned our inheritance to strangers and that aliens have our homes? The president of the United States, the what they call the leader of the free world, he's reprobate. Do you know what reprobate means? Void of judgment. Have you heard him try to speak? To try to put a sentence together?
No judgment.
And being led by a woman of the worst kind and an ex-president of no kind. Of who knows what kind. My people, not mine. Yours maybe, not mine. I know my people. I know my kind. They're the blood-washed throng. They're those that are, that seek to obey the gospel of Jesus Christ, that believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, the only begotten Son of God. Not the aliens and strangers that now rule even our land. Bible tells you and I that we're to be salt and light. I reminded Brother Robert yesterday morning. He's on his way to Mexico. I said, Brother, I know you're going to be light. Brother, do not forget to be salt. I fear that we've forgotten the salt. The preaching that saved me was salt. Oh, brother, it was salt. And those preachers, they poured it directly into the open wounds which the Word of God cut deep. The Word of God is sharper than any two-edged sword, but you'd never know it by the clouds without rain. George sent me an article on the horrible things and he's very troubled, and I could see why, are the things that men do to little children. Things we're not even going to mention or allude to. That men do to unmentionable things to little children. But that's none other than the doctrine of total depravity. Well, I've known about that for years and years. But people expect more because they don't understand the doctrine of total depravity. They have forgotten the doctrine in the church today that there's none good. No, no. Not one. The doctrine of total depravity. Sorry, not even grandma. Wasn't that a fun time? Those of you that have been around for a while. Wasn't that a fun time? When they found out that not even grandma. You see. Now you hear me. We gave our land to strangers and aliens long before we opened our borders. Do you hear me? When the salt became good for nothing but the dunghill, I knew we were finished. The strangers and aliens were homegrown. The clouds without rain allowed it. The mealy-mouthed preachers, the parents allowed it, the schools allowed it, the law allowed it, you and I allowed it. We let it happen. And now, our inheritance is turned to strangers, and our houses to aliens. And some, listen, share our last name. You hear me? They share our land, our homes, our food, and our goods, and we allowed it. In our families, we've got sodomites. And they say, oh, well, he's my son. She's my daughter. I said, we've got sodomites. And God says, put them out of the land. We've got adulterers, fornicators, drunkards, liars, and concupiscence of all sorts. Unmentionable things like George brought up. And God said, put them away. He said, if it offends you, get rid of it. And there's hellfire to pay. Oh, but we have a peace-loving God. Yes, it's coming back in flaming fire, taking vengeance. No, friend, there are strangers and aliens at the border. Of this, there's no doubt. But they've been here much longer than that. We bred them. We brought them up. God said, if my people. Oh, I could weep like Jeremiah. If my people. Man, if my people. Finally, in the book of Isaiah. First chapter of the book of Isaiah. Verse 4. He said, ah, sinful nation. I'm sorry, he must be writing to us. Ah, sinful nation. A people laden with iniquity. A seed of evildoers. Children that are corruptors. They have forsaken the Lord. They've provoked the Holy One of Israel unto anger. They are gone away backward. We've turned our inheritance to strangers and our homes to aliens.